The agricultural source and far north Queensland is quite significant. Bananas, for instance, per hectare, use half a tonne of nitrogen, a decent amount of phosphorus, and a tonne of potassium per year. And the reason for that is your phosphorus then is retained in the soil quite effectively. So this is going to be sufficient to maintain a banana crop, whereas the nitrogen is lost both in soluble forms and as a gas through the atmosphere. So remember back to the nitrogen cycle. What were those gases which were involved in the nitrogen cycle? Yeah, so you had nitrogen dioxide, yeah. Nitrogen N2 and? Yeah, and? Yeah, NO nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is a big one. So these then are return pathways, and the nitrogen that you put on as fertilizer then, lots of it ends up as nitrous oxide and going back to the atmosphere. So the farmer has to put that stuff on, he loses a fair old amount of soluble nitrate. So the typical nitrogen first fertilizer then will be ammonium nitrate. The ammonium will lock up into the soil reasonably effectively, but then the bugs will be able to break that down and turn it into nitrous oxide and you lose it. The nitrate component is nice and available to the plants, but it's highly soluble. So you put it on, you get a decent flush of rain, it washes most of it out of the soil. So that's why they're putting a large amount of that. And it's the same deal with the potassium. It's a highly soluble ion. You put it on, you'll get a little bit in there, but the rest of it will wash off. No. There's a major problem for the agriculturalist. Paul Nelson does a stack of work. There's guys up in Mareeba, a lot of work on just trying to quantify how much nitrogen they're actually losing, either down into the water or up to the atmosphere each year, so they can sort of get figure out how much nitrogen they really do need to put on these paddocks to actually get enough of the crops to grow. Yeah, it's just massive, yeah. So that's why they're having to use such silly sort of amounts. As a result, there's lots of people in on the act of trying to monitor how much phosphorus and nitrogen are moving around. Now, with the phosphorus here, this is like a typical sort of farm. It could turn out that one year they're flush with money and they think, oh, let's go and buy a whole lot more phosphorus this year. If we throw it on the soil, it acts as a little bank for when we don't have so much money. So you can actually end up with events where a farmer puts like 10 times as much phosphorus on it as needed, yeah, because he's got the money that year. And if then, after he's put it on, you actually get a bit of rain, then you can carry that extra phosphorus down the system. So people like the Department of Environment, EPA, Department of Primary Industries, all of these guys have monitored these sort of levels in the waterways around. Your monitoring then for both nitrate and phosphate, you're now familiar with how that works. It's a spectrophotometric technique. What was the type of technique that you used out in the field for looking at phosphate? A little baby thing? Yeah, what was that called? No. Well, see, spectrophotometrically is incredibly general. Photo means photons. Spectro means spectrum. Now everything generates a spectrum. Okay, photons is whether they're emission or absorption, it's still a photon that's involved. So that doesn't tell you a lot. So what was the actual little machine that you used out in the field? No. No, UV unlikely, because what do you have for UV? Remember you guys did UV in one of the pracs. Yep. And in terms of the machine itself, what do you have to have? And? In your samples, what did you have to put it in? The quartz one, yeah. So you guys didn't have any quartz when you were out there in the field. You just had a little ordinary little glass vials, right? Uh-huh. What's IR stand for? Infrared, what does that rely on? Yeah, and in terms of the molecule? Yep, functional group detector is what you're remembering, yeah? It's relying on vibrations, yeah? Could be double bonds, could be single bonds or whatever, but it's a vibrational technique. That wasn't what you were doing in the field. What were you doing? So just think through the process. Yeah, now in the course of that, did you notice anything happening? Yeah, which you call what? When you mix those things, what happens? Yeah, so what's the technique?
Colorimetry,
yeah. Okay, now you've done several practices with that in. But that's what I'm saying. These are the sort of things. I want you to have a well-integrated view of what you've done in the practice, okay, with the theory. Because that's how it works. So, yeah, there's a standard technique is colorimetry. So this is what's going on here. That's what they were doing in town when they were doing total nitrogen, total phosphorus. Simple colorimetric thing. But they automated that whole thing using that flow injection analyzer so that you didn't have to have people sitting there shaking chemicals together.